Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you. And to those of you on Zoom joining us this Sunday, the first one after Christmas. Our carols this morning have been chosen by different members of the church family, as you will find out as the service proceeds. And for our call to worship today, I'm using the words of Nigel's favourite carol. Like a candle flame, flickering small in our darkness, uncreated light shines through infants' eyes. Stars and angels sing, yet the earth sleeps in the shadows. Can this tiny spark set a world on fire? Yet his light shall shine from our lives, spirit blazing, as we touch the flame of his holy fire. God is with us, alleluia. Come to save us, alleluia. Our first carol is 211. Hark the herald angels sing. And this has been chosen by Joy. So please stand to sing 211. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we bring you our thanks and praise for all that's happened over the past few weeks. The carol services we've attended, the friends we've met, and the family we've spent time with. The messages of hope that we've heard as we've welcomed your son into the world this Christmas. Come alongside us this morning. Be with us in our worship as we pray, as we sing, and we read your word. Help us to reflect on all that Christmas means to us as we sing the familiar words of the carols. Awaken that spirit of hope and joy and gladness that the shepherds encountered when they entered the stable all those years ago. Help us to take your gift of love to our world and share it with all those we meet in the coming days. Help us to walk with you into the coming year with expectation and the knowledge you're always with us every step of the way. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our next carol isn't really a carol, it's more of an Advent hymn. The words are beautiful and prophetic, with strong links to the book of Isaiah, and they date back to 1710 and were originally written in Latin. And the music is haunting and spine-tingling and goes back even further to the 15th century France. For me, it's a beautiful hymn, and I think we've only sung it once this Christmas. O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
So there I was, girl on a donkey, riding along the uneven road from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The story started months ago, actually, 9 months to be exact. I was in the garden outside my family home, pottering, thinking girly things, nothing in particular, when suddenly there was this man in front of me, a stranger, not one of the men from the village, and dressed in a fashion completely strange to me. "Don't be afraid," he said. I wasn't. Puzzled, yes, apprehensive even, but not afraid. There was something about him. "You have found favour with God," he said. He said that I would conceive and bear a child, a son. He would be great, the Son of God, the Messiah, whose kingdom will never end. Well, I knew that's what the prophecies said. It's what we were all waiting for, but me? "How?" I asked. "I'm not married." The man, Angel, explained that the Holy Spirit would come upon me, the power of the Most High would overshadow me, and the baby I would bear would be the Son of God. "Well, I am the Lord's servant," I said, "whatever he asks of me." After the angel had gone, I wondered what to do. What would my family think? And what would Joseph say? We were engaged. Would he think I'd been unfaithful to him before we were even married? But the angel had told me that my cousin Elizabeth was also expecting a baby. She's a lot older than me and thought to be barren. "Nothing," said the angel, "is impossible with God." So I would go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is lovely, kind, gentle, wise beyond her years, always my go-to with my teenage problems. She would know what I should do. So I went to see her. She was indeed pregnant. And as she saw me coming, she said her baby leapt in her womb and she was filled with the Holy Spirit as she recognized me and knew the baby I was carrying was to be very special indeed. In the meantime, Joseph had also been visited by the angel. And so when I returned from Elizabeth's, he was waiting for me and took me into his home. And so we waited. We were puzzled, though. All the scriptures tell us that Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and we lived in Nazareth, miles away. "Don't worry," said Joseph. "God will sort it out." And he did, in the strangest way. Caesar Augustus decided that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone had to go back to the town where his family originally came from. And Joseph's family came from Bethlehem. So there we were, on our way to Bethlehem, me on the donkey, Joseph leading me carefully round the worst potholes. And I knew I was in labour. Yes, I'd heard about Braxton Hicks, but I knew this was the real thing. My baby was coming, was almost here, in fact. "Don't worry," said Joseph. "God will take care of us. Trust him." We reached Bethlehem. It was manic. People everywhere, cramming the streets, fighting for places to sleep, children crying, wives shouting, people even trying to sleep in doorways. "Please," I murmured, "please." I think Joseph was getting desperate, but he was as calm as ever. "God has brought us this far," he said. "He won't let us down." We reached the very last inn in the village. It's always the last one, isn't it? Never the first. and it was full. We turned away. Then the innkeeper said, I've got this stable. Yes. It was clean, dry, out of the wind, and warm from the bodies and breath of the cattle bedded down. Joseph settled our donkey with the other animals, and the innkeeper's wife bustled in to help me. I was right, the baby was almost here. And then, there he was. We wrapped him in the swaddling cloths I'd brought with me and laid him carefully in the makeshift crib, a feeding trough for the animals. And we gazed at him. Time seemed almost to stand still, hanging between one world and the next. The baby, Jesus, lay quietly, contemplating, wise and knowing from his very first moment. And then, the light! Brighter than the sunniest day, a clear, bright light shining all around, focused on the baby. And the singing, at first quiet, but suddenly the air was filled with thousand upon thousand voices singing. Why couldn't everyone hear it? Couldn't they see? And then the visitors, shepherds, suddenly at the door. Where's the baby? They asked. We saw the angels. They told us to come and find the baby. He is our Messiah, the Christ. And they fell before the manger and worshipped him. It was the most amazing thing. And I lay there watching my precious baby, sleeping now in his manger. And I thought of all the things I had been told about him. Don't worry, said Joseph. God doesn't ask you to do something without giving you everything you need to do it. We'll take care of him. We'll keep him safe until his time comes. Now I look back with the benefit of old age to that girl on a donkey, and I think of all the what-ifs, the buts, and I wonder if, now knowing everything that was to come, I was asked to do it again. Would I? Oh yes, in a heartbeat.
It's time to sing again. We're going to Sue's favourite now. The organist even gets a choice. We're going to sing number 62, Born in the Night, Mary's Child, which follows beautifully on from Pippa's monologue. Thank you, Sue.
2, verses 25 to 35, and it's page 1028. Also, the second reading later is on the same page. So Luke 2, verses 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." Amen.
Our next hymn is going to be It Came Upon Midnight Clear. But I just want to just say a few words because it was a carol I chose and I really like. And I like it really because it tells us in the first verse of Jesus coming. But it also goes on to the world as it is today. But it gives the world hope. So if we listen to the angels, it gives the world a solution. But and then we go to us, and that if we listen to the angels when things get bad, it gives us rest. And the last verse is I really like because it tells us of Christ's second coming. And I like the last four verses. It says, "And the earth and heaven nude shall see the Prince of Peace their King, and all the world repeat the song which now the angels sing." So we're going to sing it now.
Thank you. second reading is from Luke, verses 36 to 40. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Our next hymn has been chosen by Marjorie Taylor. She might not be with us in spirit, but she's here somewhere, Lord. And this is her lovely choice of carol. 107, cradled in a manger meanly. 107. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you and bring our intercessions for others, Lord. Just hear our prayer. Lord, we bring our church family to you. We think of those who aren't with us today because they're unwell. We think of those waiting for appointments and those going into hospital for treatment, Lord. We just pray that you will give them peace and let them know that whatever happens, you are with them. Be with the doctors and the nurses that are going to treat them. Lord, hear our prayer. We bring the church to you, Lord. We just think of our brothers and sisters who face persecution because of their faith. Those who live in fear, whose families and communities deny their existence, where basic needs are denied. We just pray for them, Lord, but we know that you're working even in those situations. We hear of stories of Christians going into camps and into prison, but you start churches there, Lord. You move in places where we think are impossible. But again, we pray, be with them, Lord. And may we not, as Christians, where we have our freedom, take it for granted. May we too spread your good news. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we think of the communities you have planted us in, Lord. We just pray that we will spread your word and be a light in those communities, Lord. Quite often we don't know what goes on there. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, Lord, but you know. Again, I just pray that we will be your light, because people don't know who you are unless we actually show them who you are. And give us opportunities for conversation. But Lord, may we serve them with your love and your compassion. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our nation. You ask us to pray for our government, Lord, and they need you more than ever now. We just pray for Christian MPs that they will speak up for justice and compassion and a voice for those who are ignored by the majority. We pray that you'll bring other Christian MPs to Parliament too, but we think of also of those who serve in local governments. And we just pray that your voice will be heard among the murmurs of the world. Hear our prayer, Lord. We pray for the world, Lord. When we look at the world, it's hard to know where you're working. We just see wars and lack of food and lack of jobs, education and health, Lord. Help us be not part of the problem, but part of the solution. May we have lifestyles that take into account those people who have less, often because of our greed and our need for a high standard of living. Lord, may our lives be like yours, compassionate to others and loving, that we serve the communities we live in. Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for us, Lord, as the coming of a new year. Maybe our resolution be to serve you more, to become closer to you, to be more like you, to be a beacon of light in this dark world. Amen.
I found a lovely Christmas reflection. It's called God on the Night Shift, and Amanda Norman has written it. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And Amanda Norman writes, "I'm an early to bed, early to rise sort of person. So for me, the prospect of working night shifts is not at all attractive." And she is part of the leprosy mission. And she said, "My role doesn't require many night shifts too often. although she remembered when my dad worked night shifts in a print factory when she was a child. We'd just moved into a new house, and I guess we needed the extra money for the mortgage. I know he didn't enjoy nights. Night shifts are rarely glamorous or comfortable. You're away from your family in your own bed, and I imagine you come home tired and grumpy sometimes. But the shepherds in the nativity story were on their regular night shift, a rough job of being outside tending the sheep, grabbing a bit of sleep when they could. I expect they were tired and possibly grumpy. And into this unglamorous work setting, it was there that God chose to send a whole host of angels to deliver the message of good news of great joy for all people. I love that. It helps me believe that this good news really is for all people, everywhere, anytime. However humdrum or unglamorous our daily work is, God can be part of it. However tired or grumpy our work sometimes makes us, the good news of forgiveness and joy in Jesus is relevant to us. And so we come to our final carol. You won't be surprised that I've chosen this one. I've always loved this carol. And as I found this Christmas, along with so many other carols, but I love the way that it starts reminding us of winter time. It's 337 in the bleak midwinter. And you see, it starts of winter, and often I ultimately think that's Christmas. And the author's writing about a cold English winter. I love the phrase, frosty wind made moan, and water like a stone. We can imagine the cold wind getting right into our bones as Christina Rossetti begins her carol. She was born in London, and she writes about the birth of baby Jesus, making us think about the events that happened all those years ago. But I do think it's the fourth verse that's probably the one we're most familiar. What can I give him, poor as I am? And these simple words bring us into the story. They bring us to the birth of Jesus and put us at the foot of the manger, looking at that Christ child. What can we give? Something that costs in monetary costs? Absolutely nothing. And it's available for everyone. Wherever we are in the world, we can stand before Jesus and give him our heart. So 313. Thank you, Sue. May the spirit of Christmas bring you peace. May the joy of Christmas bring you hope. May the warmth of Christmas bring you love. And may the new year bring you God's abundant blessings. Amen.